Hi, I'm Karen Webster, and welcome to The Matchmaker is In. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Pradeep Ilan Kumaran, the CEO of Farmstead. Pradeep, thanks for joining me today.
So great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So a little overview of Farmstead. It's a very interesting AI tech company that is out to reinvent the $600 billion grocery sector, a very tall order indeed. So Pradeep, let's talk about how you're going to do that. But first of all, what problem did you observe in the grocery industry today, and how are you solving for it?
Well, it's somewhat of a personal story how we got started. First, we should definitely talk about why it's 2017 and we get everything delivered except groceries. And we still have to go to the stores. It's an extremely frustrating experience where you're spending time, you're spending money, you're walking in, you're looking at all these aisles, you're doing impulse buys, and you're paying the stores for the privilege of doing this. It's somewhat frustrating. So rewinding a little bit, we started Farmstead. There was a moment in time when my daughter turned 2 years old, and all of a sudden she started drinking a lot of milk. And it was a lot more than before, and all of a sudden we realized that I'm at the store 3 to 4 times a week buying the same things over and over and over. It's the same milk, it's the same eggs, the same yogurt. And after the 30th time of doing this, where it's Thursday night and I'm exhausted and it's 9:30 at night, I'm walking the aisles of a Safeway trying to figure out why I can't get this set up, decided to spend some time thinking through the problem and figuring out if there was a way to automate some of this. I'm also an engineer, and engineers don't like doing the same things over and over and over. We try to automate some of that at least. And just so happened that there were a few options here in the Bay Area. There's a personal shopper service called Instacart. There was Amazon Fresh.
Yep.
There were a few other companies. And we tried to use everything. My wife and I, we tried to set up something that would get us the stable supply of weekly staples to our doorstep, and nothing worked. There were always some minor issues or some major issues that prevented us from really setting up this process. And eventually I got quite frustrated. I was talking to my friend at the time, who was now my co-founder, and I was telling him, this is so frustrating, I keep doing this. And he suggested that I try to get a few people together. And I'm like, that's actually not a bad idea. Maybe enough people will be interested where we can set up a weekly delivery of just the staples. And I posted on a local message board in Old Mountain View, which is where I used to live. And in 2 days, 200 people said yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was fascinating. And for me, as someone who's already started the company before and who spends my time working in consumer technology, that kind of spike in activity is unprecedented. There's something here. So let's explore. And from that very small beginning is really how Farmstead started. Now we are an AI-powered technology company that is trying to reinvent this experience for you. So you don't have to go to the store, and you can automatically get things delivered to your doorstep if you choose to. You can also get them delivered in 60 minutes on demand if you'd like. And we will bring you the absolute fresh, locally sourced produce and groceries that you will ever eat in your life. And
wow,
they're all phenomenal, and it shows up in minutes.
So I want to unpack this a little bit. So as I understand it, there is software that can predict what I want to eat by observing my order patterns, and
mm-hmm.
it calculates with precision what my grocery order needs to be or should be based on my preferences, sources
mm-hmm.
it from local farmers, and it shows up. Now, that sounds pretty good to me, but it's also Mountain View, and I'm also here in Boston, kind of high tech, kind of in with technology. Is this a big enough market in general?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we're going after the entire grocery market. We're not going after just online delivery. And entire grocery market is currently the best in class for the current grocery market. Is you are going to a supermarket that has 40,000 SKUs that is somewhat inconvenient for you to get to in high traffic times, and you're spending a lot of time and money there.
Right.
And all of this does not need to happen. Right? And what we've seen, we've done over 16,000 deliveries over the last year, and what we're seeing is there's a lot of customer demand for this particular experience. And this is something, the way Farmstead is set up, just getting all of these items together in one place and then getting customers to say, well, I'm going to tap a few buttons and then have it delivered and there's no risk of things running out very aggressively, or there's no risk of like drivers being late, I can treat this as a utility as part of my workflow when I'm managing my household and when I'm managing how to get food onto my table.
Wow.
This is something that most grocery stores do not really think about, because most supermarkets traditionally are these big fridges. They buy a lot of product, they put them in this big fridge, and you are going to that big fridge and you're transferring from that big fridge to your smaller fridge. And it's 2017, we don't have to do this, right? We can get everything else delivered, we can get perishables delivered, but unfortunately nobody had an impetus to really figure it out. And that's what Farmstead is working on, is making that experience much smoother for you using technology to really help with the very difficult parts, which is the sourcing, the reduction in food waste, and the delivery part.
So let's talk about how you built the business. So from this message board and 200 people who said, yes, this sounds like a great idea, a business idea was born. What exactly did you do? Because you could identify consumer demand, but then you needed to find the other side of your platform. Mm-hmm. How did you work on getting both sides on board?
So that's always the challenging part. And initially, anytime someone starts a grocery experience, they wind up having to spend a ton on inventory, because
right.
you just don't know what people are going to buy. But Farmstead did not have that problem, because we were, from the get-go, a weekly delivery service. And it's evolved since then, where we can do same-day delivery and near real-time delivery. But at the very beginning, we bootstrapped inventory by having a weekly option of getting your groceries delivered. And since you preemptively put your order in, we were able to buy just enough and not bleed money on inventory and get it delivered to you. And over time, what we realized was, to sign up new customers, a weekly delivery is a very anxiety-inducing process. Right? Just, you have to completely overhaul your grocery experience and commit to this weekly thing. And
right.
that's not something most customers are very inclined to do immediately. They want to try us out. They want to see that we are doing a good job, as you would. So we built that experience for them. After talking to them for a very long time, we do a lot of customer research at Farmstead. And when we spent a lot of time talking to them, what really came out was, well, there's all these anxieties in my mind on what's going to happen with getting these products delivered to my doorstep. And how are you helping me reduce these anxieties? So that's what we spent, even now, the bulk of our time on, is helping customers get through those mental blocks of, well, first I want my avocados to be just right, and I want the delivery to show up in this particular way, and I want the driver to knock on my door if I choose to. And these are all things that you have to structure from a digital product standpoint, so that a new customer shows up and they are immediately getting a delivery and they are thrilled about it, and eventually they sign up for a weekly order. And because of this weekly nature, we were able to reduce our inventory costs by buying mostly items that are pre-sold. And then over time, we started adding more and more technology to help us manage the not pre-sold part of our inventory that caters to these on-demand customers. And that's how we bootstrapped the supply. And of course, we had to work with a lot of Bay Area food hubs and some local producers. We worked with Acme Bakery, which is a very renowned bakery in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with Strauss Milk, who have amazing bottled milk. And all of these partners help us deliver this compelling experience that a Bay Area customer very rapidly recognizes as a uniquely Bay Area thing, but also has the characteristics of being able to scale nationwide.
So is that really the differentiator, where you're sourcing your inventory? So you're not going to the big grocery store, you're going to the local farms and the boutique pastry shops and bakeries, and other places to pull the inventory together? Is that what makes this different?
There is when we talk about Farmstead inventory, there's a combination of both perishable and non-perishable. For the perishable goods, we tend to skew very local. And we're blessed in California to have a lot of produce areas nearby, so we wind up seeing very high quality produce. And as we go nationwide, there are other opportunities to aggregate local demand very effectively with a platform like Farmstead. On the non-perishable side, we do work with national brands, but we also work with very unique local brands that you normally don't see outside the Bay Area. And quite frankly, for a lot of these very unique local brands, whether they're perishable or non-perishables, we are a much, much better avenue for distribution than a traditional supermarket. So for us, it's very easy for a new vendor to show up and request addition. We take a look and say, well, this is actually a very high quality product. Let's try it out and see what our customers say. That's very different than you have to go through the process of trying to sample at the stores and then talk to these buyers who may or may not add your product. It's very confusing on the supply side. So for us, we simplify all of that.
How many orders does it take for you to be 100% is probably an unfair question, but very, very accurate with respect to what orders need to be placed every week for your customers? Is it one order, two orders, 10 orders?
Well, we have a couple of unfair advantages. One is we have an automatic refill system where if you like milk, if you like a specific kind of milk and you like a specific kind of eggs, and these are the only items you buy every week, you can automatically get those refills without you having to do anything. Just check a button. And that gives us a huge buffer of inventory every week that we just buy, and without having to worry at all about it. There's zero inventory risk for those items.
Yep.
And the rest of it, the things that you are buying on the fly, or if you're showing up and like, oh, I need delivery in between my weekly orders, or I just showed up for the first time and I want to get a delivery in 20 minutes. These are items that we are constantly monitoring on a daily basis. And our AI system then takes a look at all of these patterns that has historically happened and gives us a prediction for, you should probably buy 123 bottles of milk for the next 3 days of this kind.
I hope not. That's for you.
Well, not you, for us, and for you.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's for Farmstead. For Farmstead. And for your customer, we don't actually tell you to do anything, because that's not something we do. This is your show, and we will provide all of the items that you find super high quality, and you will immediately buy because they are known to be high quality. And the experience of doing that and placing an order in a few minutes and getting a delivery to a doorstep, that is, quite frankly, nobody has ever really pulled that off before we came along.
So is this sort of like the back to the old days of the little milkman who would deliver milk and juice and donuts to the front porches of people living in suburbia, because that's just what the orders were every week? Is, I mean, on a grander scale, of course, but it's that level of weekly refill.
It could be if you wanted it to, it could be. But typically it's customers, they're thinking about their grocery on a daily basis, and I'm running out of this, I'm running out of this other thing, and they're constructing an order and putting it in. And for us, we cater to all swaths of the grocery experience. If you want a delivery in minutes, we can do that in San Francisco. If you want a delivery later on that day, we can do that. If you want a weekly delivery because your grocery needs don't change week by week, we can also do that. We're very flexible. And this is something that we can do because we are a technology company, and we figured out the logistics as well.
So I want to talk to you about the logistics in just a minute, but are you driving most people's entire grocery order, or are you 50% of what they do? Do you have a sense of whether all of what people consume for groceries in a week, or 50% of it?
There are definitely customers who have replaced their entire grocery order with Farmstead. Mm-hmm. And there are others who get most of what they need, and then they still like to go to the store time to time. And
right.
There are others who use us only for perishables, and they get their CPG products somewhere else, maybe, you know, like a big box brand. And that's perfectly fine with us. Eventually, we will add more and more items, but not so many that it's overwhelming for us. And more and more customers wind up converting into we are using Farmstead exclusively. It's just easier.
So when I think about the supply side, so that, you know, consumers mm-hmm. are placing their grocery order, and you're outsourcing, you know, various suppliers to fulfill those orders, how do you introduce new brands into the mix? You know, for produce, I guess it's not that important because, you know, nice tomatoes can come from multiple farms. But if you've identified this great source of organic milk, and then you introduce mm-hmm. a new brand of organic milk, people want people start to wonder, wait a minute, I used to buy that, now I'm getting this. How do you reconcile some of those things for people who are placing these weekly orders?
So just to correct, we coordinate with a lot of different vendors to make this happen. And there's a layer of curation that we do on your behalf. So FarmStead is somewhat of an opinionated company in terms of supply. We don't carry 40,000 items like your supermarket.
Right.
We carry less than 1,000. And as a result, we are forced to think very deeply and with a lot of research with customers on exactly what these items need to be. And mm-hmm. we are more of a category coverage company than a SKU coverage company. Mm-hmm. So a traditional supermarket, they're a SKU coverage company. There's 40 different kinds of potato chips. We don't carry 40 different kinds of potato chips. We know that we need potato chips. We know that there are probably two or three flavors that are most important, and those are the ones that we will carry. And the overall trend for consumers nowadays is around simplification. And
yep.
we feel like, you know, having 40 SKUs of potato chips is not really helping simplify their lives.
Right, I agree. So thinking about supply, demand, building this platform, there are always challenges. You said you've delivered 16,000 orders. What have you learned? What's been the hardest part of getting this platform off the ground?
We spent a lot of time in the Bay Area before we got to San Francisco. And the suburban areas are actually where a lot of our logistics work really came into play. And we send drivers out on optimized routes where they are algorithmically routed to just take up just the shortest amount of time and the shortest amount of distance to cover as many stops as possible. And this means that we have to be quite careful when we are opening up new markets, and even within the Bay Area. So we go zip code by zip code and open things up. There are places where I live, which are very flat, and there are also very hilly areas, not even 3 miles from where I am. That is a completely different driver experience.
Hmm.
So thinking through what the terrain looks like, thinking through how many stops a driver can do in a particular zip code, these are things that we spent a lot of time on. And as a result, over time, we got very, very good at refining exactly how much it would cost us to do these
mm-hmm.
deliveries. And then we turned on San Francisco, and it was, quite frankly, San Francisco was much easier compared to everything else that we did before that. It's just the suburban areas and areas that are somewhat far from our micro hub and areas that are close, but we had to have multiple drivers do it really
mm-hmm.
fast in a small period of time.
So your strategy is to get density in a particular area and then move on where you can get more density. It's a smart strategy, but that means you have to acquire customers, a lot of customers
mm-hmm.
in that area. How do you acquire customers?
So this particular problem is why most, specifically online grocery endeavors before FarmStead have failed. Connecting supply and demand in real time, both perishable supply and dense demand, is incredibly difficult. But we have a team that has spent a lot of time thinking about that in other companies, and that brings that expertise to FarmStead. So perishable supply, you know, there's a 1 to 1.5 week time span in which this bottle of milk hits our inventory and we have to move it.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And I'm somewhat extrapolating, there are these items that vary over time. Some of these are 2 days. In the case of acne, bread loaf, it's a baguette. That's literally a day. You have to buy it in the morning. You have to sell it in the evening. You
yep.
can't use that loaf the next day. So on the supply side, we have the system that actually helps us reduce food waste by
mm-hmm.
buying just enough. And on
mm-hmm.
the demand side, we are a technology company. So we have technology channels to pump demand in. And these technology channels wind up being much more aggressively hyperlocal than most other tech channels that grocery companies have had access to. And
mm-hmm.
because we are a technology company, we spend a lot of time thinking about digital product and how to get a customer to walk through a digital product and put an order at the end, and then how to get them to come back and retain over a long period of time. So these are things that we are very, very good at. That is actually our bread and butter, and along with the operations part. And together, we drive hyper-local demand and connect it to very low-waste perishable supply And that's what really makes Farmstead work.
So consumer downloads an app, is that what happens? And then
the app's coming soon. We have a website at the moment, but it's mobile web optimized. And you know, you'll see mentions of Farmstead in various places, but more often than not, you hear about it from a friend who really likes Farmstead. And that's the ideal experience. And as you mentioned before, our flywheel is our stores are not actually stores, they're micro hubs.
Right.
They don't have to be located in prime real estate. They just have to be close enough to you that you can do 1 hour delivery. And there are other places where we don't have to do 1 hour delivery really, we can still do the same day delivery. And these micro hubs also cover a huge radius compared to a traditional supermarket. So while a traditional supermarket may be max 5 miles around the supermarket, Farmstead hubs cover about 40 to 50 miles around their hub. So the flywheel for us is you tell your friend that Farmstead is awesome, and these hubs start aggregating demand, and at the same time aggregating local demand in dense neighborhoods. And this starts helping us get price breaks with our vendors and starts kicking this flywheel where our margins start improving. Our hubs start amortizing very, very aggressively. And over time, our margins improve to the point that we will probably wind up having best in class prices for any particular category. And that of course, you know, price elasticity is a real thing in the grocery industry.
Yeah.
You drop the price of bananas by 10 cents and your volume doubles. So this is all well known, and it's recorded historically over long periods of time. So even small changes in price eventually wind up having massive ramifications on that flywheel. And on the other end, as you're pumping in more and more demand into a micro hub, then these customers wind up being part of a much denser route, and our delivery costs start dropping.
Yeah.
So eventually we start seeing pretty high quality products, very good prices, and delivery as close to free as possible. And that's a utility right there.
I was going to ask you how you made money. So you obviously make money on the margin between what you're buying inventory for and what you're selling it for. Does the consumer pay any kind of subscription or delivery fee to take advantage of what Farmstead does?
No. So subscriptions are things that we as product builders, we tend not to favor subscriptions internally because the way we're thinking about it, if you're building a compelling enough experience, it should behave like a subscription, even if you don't force someone to engage in a subscription with you. As in, it should be so amazing that you're constantly using it. And that effectively is the same thing as you are using it once a week because we're forcing you to use it. Right? So we don't want to engage in that kind of product building. On the delivery side, we, of course, as consumers, we always want as cheap delivery as possible. And historically, it's been difficult to provide cheap delivery because of exactly what you identified, density.
Right.
But here we are, it's a company that has the opportunity to build dense networks of people and activate flywheels that wind up generating a system and a product that everybody can benefit from anytime a new customer gets added onto.
Interesting. It's very much like the restaurant reservations platforms where you need to have enough density in the areas that people actually live and want to go out to eat. And, you know, expanding beyond that is, you know, it takes time because you need to identify, you know, to your point, the zip codes, the areas where there's enough density of demand and proximity of supply to solve your perishable goods problem. How do you think about expansion? So you're in the Bay Area now. How do you think about going beyond that? What's the criteria for picking the next place?
So that's a very interesting question. I would step backwards a little bit on what you just mentioned about that we have to be very careful about zip code selection. We have spent enough time in the Bay Area and in various geographies that we are comfortable extrapolating that to quite a big swath of the country. We know what the economics are going to be on the delivery side. And on the supply side, perishable inventory, we typically hook into the same food system that connects restaurants to food.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones that supermarkets, those are proprietary chains that supermarkets have. And we don't connect into those supply chains. We connect into the much more scalable local supply chains for restaurant produce. And it just so happens that, you know, it's not just restaurant produce, it's just high quality local produce that restaurants seem to favor because they're high quality.
Sure.
So our customers who get broccoli from us, they're always writing in saying, this broccoli is so much bigger than what I would get. And like, well, yeah,
wow.
It's literally from, you know, not too far away from here, and it's extremely fresh, and it hasn't been sitting on a shelf in like a warehouse, whatever. So that's how we're planning to scale both supply and demand. And on the demand side, since we are a digital company, we have a few advantages in terms of scaling that demand. And I mean, we can spend all day talking about how to configure digital demand best, but we are quite good at that. And inevitably, we tend to be more and more hyperlocal, and a few channels wind up winning, and these channels are really where we spend the bulk of our capital on.
Yeah, sure, for sure. As I think about what options you have for this expansion, I mean, at the moment you're a B2C company. I mean, although you obviously have you're B2B2C. Have you ever thought about being a B2B2C company where you're not actually the face of the company, but you're licensing your tech to a player that basically franchises your model and establishes it in their local area?
We are one of those classic technology marketplace companies that wants to be the consumer face as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Farmstead is a global, inevitably will be a global brand. And we feel that licensing technology, it's somewhat counterproductive to being a big consumer brand. And if you can connect supply and demand much better than most of these brands that you would potentially sell to, then it begs the question, like, why would you want to license that technology? Having said that, you know, who knows what will happen in the future, but for us right now, we are focused specifically on having an amazing customer experience so that you tell your friends about how awesome Farmstead is, and you should please sign up. That's what we're primarily thinking about.
So I have to mention something before we finish our conversation. So one of your investors is the great quarterback Joe Montana, one of the two best quarterbacks ever. Tom Brady, of course, other in my hometown here of Boston. Is he involved really in the business?
Joe loves food. And when
yeah.
we told him about Farmstead, he's like, wow, this is awesome. I know a lot of people in the Bay Area food industry, and we'd love to help. And that's how we got started. And I mean, he's a fascinating person.
So, so I don't know. Maybe when Tom hears this, he'll want to throw his hat in the ring, and then you could have two greatest quarterbacks of all time being part of your team. It's been great to get to know you and to get to know the business. One final point before we go. What's been the hardest part?
The hardest part, produce was fun. Produce is one of those industries where things change on a daily basis, and this is something that we didn't immediately recognize. So we had to spend a lot of time thinking through how to get that avocado that you like just ripe in just the right way to your doorstep. That was a very interesting problem, and we have a very, very good grasp of it now. But that was pretty hard.
Yeah, I can imagine the dimensions and the levers you have to manage in the perishable foods category seems very daunting, but a technology can be very, very helpful, and it sounds like you and your team have mastered that. Well, listen, Pradeep, thanks so much for your time today. I really enjoyed learning about the business, and hopefully we'll catch up with you a little bit later as you expand and develop more learning experiences. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure.